Well, Joe, will you tell me about pitching in Ebbets Field? Did it present any problems compared
A lot of people did. I mean, a lot of people didn't like to pitch there, but it didn't make that much difference to me. I think if you're pitching, if you're a good enough pitcher, you can pitch anywhere.
Well, of course, I never saw Ebbets Field, unfortunately.
It had that close right field fence.
Pardon?
It had a real close right field fence.
Did you have to pitch a special way because of that?
About 230 down the line in right field, I mean.
So how did you pitch? Did you adjust your pitching because of that? You're going to let the hitters do any adjusting if they need to, huh?
Right. Yeah. I pitched the hitters about the same all the time.
Was there one hitter that was particularly difficult?
Just like pitching polo grounds. Gosh, that was a terrible park to pitch in, but I never had, it didn't bother me that much. Just about 230 down each lane. But it was wide here. I mean, it went around like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they probably hit a lot of fly balls off me to the center field, right center and left center, you know.
Yeah.
And
they die there then.
Of course, my fastball carried like this.
I've read that. Stan Musial said that it was a rising fastball.
It did under it all the time. They always said, the majority of the pitchers today, I would say the majority of the pitchers today are low ball pitchers. Because most of them throw sinkers. And that pitch is harder to hit for a base hit than a ball up here. Because you see this ball. Your bat. You swing on a level with a swing like this up here. Down here, your bat's like that. Well, the chances you're hitting that ball on the fat part of the bat is better up here than it is down here. But Camillo was a low ball boy. He could hit the fire out of that, but he could hit him a mile.
Was there was there a hitter that seemed to give you the most trouble?
The hitters that give me the most trouble are the hitters that punch the ball. I like the hitter that swung the bat.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the all or nothing kind of hitter, the one that you felt you had the most
trouble with? The third baseman for the Cubs, what was his name?
Oh.
Little fellow, not knowing it wasn't so little. He gave me a fit.
Let's find out. Take a second and find out.
What in the world was his name? And Lonnie Frye.
Uh-huh.
He didn't swing at the ball hard. He just punched at the ball, just like that.
You mentioned Cecil Travis earlier. He was that sort of
but I didn't pitch that much against Cecil now. I didn't know that much about him.
Third baseman, Cubs.
Santo.
Oh, Ron Santo. Well, you mean today. Oh, okay. I was looking back. Stan Hack was the third baseman.
Stan Hack.
Mm-hmm.
Hack.
Yeah.
Santo.
Santo, Hack. Right team.
I had a hard time with him. I pitch a ball outside, and I think I'm, you know, good.
Mm-hmm.
He just left that ball in the left field just like that, you know. I didn't like to pitch against those hitters that didn't swing hard. I wanted somebody to swing hard where I could fool.
Was there a particularly good hitter that you felt you really had his number? I mean, somebody that would tag all the other pitchers, but he was yours.
Well, there's some hitters I can't recall now. There's some hitters that gave me more trouble than other hitters. I don't know. I can't call it now.
I'd like to hear more about Pete Reeser, if you can. He's one of the players that's fascinated me for a long time. I guess he was just a heck of a ball player, and it didn't work out for injuries, but it was almost like he played so intensely, he injured himself.
And he didn't know where the fence was.
It didn't seem to make any difference. I don't think it would have made any difference if he did know. he was going to run through it anyway. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know that he thought that, but he ran into several.
Well, you were pitching.
But he could run so hard, though, so fast. Boy, he could fly.
You were on the mound when he had that terrible collision with the fence in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You were the pitcher. He was trying to, he was going after that ball.
He didn't think about the fence. Mm-hmm. Most fellas outfield now, you'll see them feeling for the fence, you know. In fact, they hurt themselves by thinking about it, whether they could have caught a ball, and maybe they didn't catch it on that account. So. But
do you think he came back too soon in 1942 then? Do you think he should have taken the rest of the season out, or at least a few more weeks to recuperate?
Yeah, he should have.
But there was a pennant race on.
He could, for a little fella, he could hit the man. He could hit that ball hard. I mean, he swung hard. You wouldn't think that a little fella like that would have that much power, but
he did everything all out.
Oh, he hit a ball a mile. Of course, if he hit it on the ground, he beat it out.
I guess he was hitting about 390 when he went into that wall. He was having a heck of a season.
No tell what kind of a year you'd have.
Are there any players, do you watch much baseball now on television, for
good.
Example? Do you
yeah,
get into
yeah.
Atlanta to games every now and then?
I don't go to Atlanta too much.
What players of today do you think are most like the players back in the late 30s and early 40s? Or are there anybody? Or is there anybody, I should say? I guess what I'm asking, who's playing today that would have been a success back then?
Yeah, that's hard to say. I'll say this, I don't believe baseball was as good as it was back those days. As a whole.
In what ways?
There's one part about the game that's changed more than any part of the game that, as far as I'm concerned, and that is stealing bases. I don't know how in the world they steal as many bases as they do now. I don't know whether runners are that much faster, or whether they get, I don't know how they get, I see runners getting leads, you know.
Yeah.
I said, good gosh, there ain't no way in the world he'd keep from getting picked off. He just walks back into first base. Didn't seem to be an effort, though. I don't know. Well, the pitchers don't have the moves, but I believe I could. I didn't have a good move, but they wouldn't get that far off.
Has the balk rule changed that much, do you think? You think that's a factor?
Well, now that foot coming back over the rubber,
mm-hmm.
if your foot comes over the rubber and you got to go to home plate, now I don't know about that. That might bother.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have bothered me, though, because my foot didn't go that way. My foot went this way.
But do you think the balk rule has changed? Do you think that's helped the base runners?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think it did help, yeah. Sure
do you agree that a runner steals on the pitcher and not on the catcher?
Oh, yeah, steals on the pitcher. The other night, somebody run down. Said, there it goes. He just walks into second base. The catcher don't even throw. Well, you hardly ever saw that where a catcher didn't even throw the ball.
Right.
In fact, I can't recall one.
But there are a lot fewer steals of home now than there used to be.
Yeah.
Why is that?
You just get a leap, get a running start. I don't know whether it's carelessness or not. But I wonder if it's steal base off of the run on us, like they do now, but man, that DeRocha had a spasm.
Was he the best manager you played for?
It's pretty hard to say whether he's DeRocha was smart. Boy, he was smart. He can think quicker than anybody I ever saw. But I think one of the smartest managers I ever saw was Gene Monk.
he played for Bucky Harris, too. He's got quite a reputation as a good manager.
Biggest thing about a manager is, I think, is handling his ball club. I mean, his players.
It's the psychological end of it?
They want to play for him. Now, now managing Atlanta, I don't think I wasn't that smart. But I'll say one thing, by God, they want to win for me. I think they thought that much of me. They played hard. I never did have to get after anybody. Donovan was the only man I ever had to kind of get after a little bit.
Dick Donovan?
Yeah. And I helped him as much as I ever helped anybody. Anybody. In fact, I made Dick a pitcher. He was hard-headed. Oh, he wasn't paying attention to anybody. And I was out trying to show a left-hand pitcher. Something like that. Who did we have that year? It was a left-hand pitcher from Philadelphia, too. In fact, I was talking to him about pitching. It come to rain that day. And they put the canvas on the field. This is in Atlanta. They put the canvas on the field, and I was out trying to help this pitcher. I think his name said another. And I'll go tonight, and I'll stay awake all night trying to think of it. And he was a pretty good pitcher, but he just didn't. He didn't change it. You know what's pitching though now. They don't change the speed of the ball enough. If you change the speed of the ball, you just make your fastball a little bit faster. And I was trying to...
I'm thinking about one pitcher that... wasn't Stu Miller one of the pitchers on the Phillies when you were a coach?
Who?
Stu Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they say his pitches were slower and slower?
He was right-handed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Slower and slower.
Right. That's the way he pitched. Anyway, I was trying to help this pitcher, left-handed. He was a left-hander. And Donovan walked up, and I was trying to get the left-handed to get a throw slider. And he says, Bill, where was his name? And Donovan walks up and he was watching. And I looked up at Donovan and he just looked and said, didn't say anything. I said, did you ever throw a slider? And he said, no. He says, how do you throw it? Well, that's exactly the way I threw it, like that right there. Cocked this finger down, put pressure on the ball here, and see when that ball comes off of your hand, it's now hold it like that. See,
fingers extended,
like this,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Okay.
The ball will revolve like this. See,
okay.
And that's the right reason my ball went up, because against the air,
mm-hmm.
it pushes
up.
Because you got to be able to throw hard enough to do that. But this way, I did that right there. And that made the ball come off of this part of the finger, see, like this, slide off. Well, that's what it was. It was a slider. Made it spin there. It don't look like a curveball. If it looks like a curveball, it's not a good slider. If you can see the spin on it like you do a curve, then it's not a good slider. But anyway, I said, do you ever throw a slider? He said, no, I never did. He says, how do you hold it? I saw him like that. I put it in my hand. And he put in his hand, and he says, I can't get my finger down there. And that's something I didn't want him to say. I can't. If he hadn't said anything, it'd been better off. Not said anything. I says, I've thrown mine just like that. You can try it if you want to. And I want to tell you, we went into Mobile, the next game he pitched, and I bet you that he threw 65% of the balls he threw were sliders. he had the best, he had his best, as good a control of a slider as one had of his screwball. And that made him a pitcher. He won 18 games for us that year.
Can I ask you to describe again how you held the ball for the slider? And can you describe it so that we'll be able to hear it? You know, you're doing a great job of showing me how you brought your right, your index finger back.
What it, instead of the ball spinning this way now,
in
like
other words,
this,
back towards you,
the ball spin this way.
It'll spin sideways.
Yeah,
from
right.
What, left to right.
Right. Right. Right to left.
I'm sorry. Right to left.
Right to left. Yeah, but it spin that way. Any way you can spin a ball is where it's going to break. I could never throw a screwball because they rolled it out there, like that. See, the wrist comes like that. I never did try too much to throw a screwball. I didn't need it, so I needed it.
Did you then throw the slider when you were with the Dodgers?
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I started throwing the Dodgers.
Not too many pitchers were doing that, were they?
I pitched a game against the Phillies and I know who it was. Now, Rudy York. We played Boston Red Sox. And I pitched a game against him, and he came up, and I threw him my first slider. And struck him out. And he asked me after that, says, what was that you threw me? I says, I don't know what it was. I says, I think it's a, what I'd call a slider. He says, well, whatever you threw me, he says, you keep on throwing it. So that started me to throw the damn slider.
Were a lot of pitchers throwing a slider at that time, or was that pretty unusual?
No.
It was unusual?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Did they used to call it a nickel curve?
Blay Holder used to throw one all the time. Now, I don't know whether he called it a slider or not. That's what it was.
Hmm.
Boy, he had his damn feet. He didn't have a good one, too. He really made me look bad now.
Would you describe a slider for me, what the pitch does?
Then when you throw a curve, you hook it, and the ball comes over your hand like this,
right.
And it's spinning like this, see? Throw it like this, just like this. And I flip it with my thumb, and my thumb like that, see? Then when I throw it out, I push it, my thumb, and come out like it. Now, I didn't do that to start with, because I didn't see that, you know. I held just like I did in my fastball. But when I got here, to that hook. I really think I could help any pitcher a little bit by just talking to him. I watch a pitcher pitching in Atlanta. And go, oh, it's like they needed somebody just to talk to them a little bit about that part of pitching. That's part of it. Well, you spin the ball, you know, and two and nothing, three and one, three and two. I bet you it's over. I bet you don't even think about that. I know they don't, because they'll wind up, they'll throw a good hit or fastball right down the middle.
Right.
And they'll wonder, well, why in the world? But I don't know, it's something you learn in it.
How has the role of coaching changed over the years? When you came up,
like you asked me a while ago, that back when I was playing with Detroit, we had an old coach, I can't think of his name now, but he never did talk to me about pitching. Nobody ever tried to help me much. I don't know of anybody that ever got me out and talk to me about doing this and doing that, you know, the way the ball was spinning. Nobody ever did that.
And that's one of the big changes, I guess. Coaches now are supposed to help players.
Oh, they do. They get out and you see them talking to them now.
But there were some grand old names that were coaches when you were a player. I mean, Jimmy Austin, Roger Bresnahan, Wally Shane, people like that.
Bresnahan.
Right.
He's a good friend of mine.
Hall of Fame catcher. They say he invented.
But he wasn't a pitching coach. He was on the Detroit club, but he wasn't a pitching coach. So, can you name another one or two? I'd like to think of that fellow's name.
Oh well, I don't know which. Well, I'm sure that not all of these were with him. But Jimmy Austin was one of your coaches.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. He's a coach at the White Sox.
Red Corridon was another one.
Yeah, he was with the Dodgers.
Wally Shang.
I don't think he ever coached for us.
Oh. Well, I'd have to look that up. I got it down there someplace. And I'm sure these were when you were with the Dodgers, Chuck Gressen and Clyde Sucourt.
Chuck Gressen was quite a... He's a good thinker now. I liked him.
Yeah.
I like Gressen. Burdett and Spawn, they like to play. And he wore the dressing deck. Oh boy, he was strictly a baseball man now. He didn't want no dang foolishness or nothing. And I stayed down the bullpen nearly all the time with the pitchers. He finally come to me one day, and he's a manager over there, and he says, "Which says take Burdett and Spawn down the bullpen when you go." He said, "They're hot footing somebody all the time. They're doing something. They're playing all the time." And they were. That's what they did. But when they, I tell you, when they got on that mound, they're serious.
Got serious in a hurry.
Of course, you can't keep fellas from playing some, you know. But that's just their way way they were.
Of course, Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews were on that team at that time, too. And those are two of the best hitters. In the last, what, 20 or 30 or 40 years, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I remember somebody say, tell Eddie Matthews this, tell him that. He didn't tell Eddie anything. He didn't want you to tell him nothing about hitting. He's just a good hitter, and he wanted to, he just hit that way. You don't tell him anything. He was that type of fellow. Now, Aaron, you could talk to him some. Not that Eddie wasn't a good fellow to have on the club. I don't mean that. He was. He was just a good hitter. But he had his way of hitting, and that's you couldn't change him. He didn't want you to change him. In fact, he didn't want you, like calling the pitches. No, you didn't call the pitches for Eddie. Well, you cross him up one time, brother, and that was it. We used to get the pitchers from the center field in Braves. I'd give them Adcock. Oh, he could hit that ball.
Well, you got the pitchers from center field. You mean you had somebody out there in center field with binoculars? Or what? Okay. How'd they signal up towards the plate or the dugout?
Just to raise your hand. I forget now what I did. I did something.
Oh, it was you out in center field, huh?
Yeah, I was sitting in center field. They had a little stand out there, right dead center, sitting there. And I'd raise my hand up, or I forget now what we did.
Uh-huh.
But we had a sign.
There.
And whenever Adcock boy, he loved to get those pitches better than anybody you ever saw. He was wearing that, brother. He wore you out if he knew what's coming. Hey, Eddie, just that much difference in the two. You don't call the pitches for him. But nearly anybody likes him. I like to get him. That's it.
How good a hitter were you? Did you
not
have a lot
bad,
of success
not
in
bad.
The plate?
Pretty good hitter.
Did they ever call on you to pinch hit?
Pinch hit in the World Series.
Well.
Wait a minute, now, did I or did I? I pinch hit for Brooklyn. Yeah. I was thinking every day, he let me in the World Series. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know whether he did that or not, no. I don't believe that's true. But he sent me up there several times.
Well, some hitters were real good pinch hitters.
If I knew what was coming, I was a pretty good hitter. I didn't hit that thing too good, though.
the curve, huh? A lot of people had that problem.
Yeah, right. I found that out.
What about the...
The reason I got DiMaggio out as well as I did, I got him out easy. I mean, I'd say easy.
Yeah.
I never threw him two balls in a row at the same speed. If I threw him a slider, the next slider I threw him, I took some off of it. If I threw him a curve, I took some off the curve the next time. And fastball, same way. I threw him a fastball, next fastball I threw him, I wouldn't become like, wouldn't be hardly like a changeup, but he wouldn't be as fast. Just change the speed of the ball. He never did bother me.
Try keeping him off balance?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Timing. That's what hitting is, timing.
Who was the best all-around ball player that you saw?
I saw some good ones.
Yes.
Gary wouldn't be far from it.
Because he can beat you most anyway, right?
Oh, he just played ball all the time the same. Nothing ever bothered him. He just beat you all the time. Now, Babe, he's more of a showman. Of course, he could hit too. So.
I came across something interesting, or at least it was interesting to me the other day. Kirby Higbee said that the 30s, he called the 1930s the Babe Ruth generation. I've been trying to figure out what he meant by that. Do you think it's because of all of the long ball hitters
in the 30s?
The Ruths, Gehrigs, Foxes, Simmons. You haven't mentioned Jimmy Fox. I'm sure you pitched against him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you remember any at-bats with him?
Well, I knew Fox actually more. I think after I started coaching, I learned more about him than I did when I was actually pitching to him. I didn't pitch that. I don't believe I pitched that much against that club.
Jimmy Fox was a coach when you were a coach. Is that what you're saying?
Let's see. Was he a coach at one time?
Probably was. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised. Who were some of the coaches with you at Philadelphia and Milwaukee and Atlanta?
Well, you named well ago one Corridan for the Dodgers.
Red Corridan, uh-huh.
Charlie Dresden.
Mm-hmm.
He was a coach.
Well, I have down here that Jimmy Fox never was a coach with anybody. That may or may not be right. I would have thought he probably would have been. How about that? It's interesting that when I've asked you about particularly good ball players,
it's hard to name the best ball player. I mean,
you seem to be leaning towards the American League.
I saw a lot of ball players.
Yes. What about in the National League? Who is the best ball player in the National League?
Did I pitch against or I played with? I mean,
if that's two answers,
coach with.
Well, if that's three answers, I'll take all three.
All around, let's see.
I mean, you could say, I suppose, that when you were coaching and when you were pitching, the best player was Stan Musial. I mean, if you said that, I wouldn't disagree with you. Or if you're talking about the best player that you played with, you might say Pete Reeser. I don't know. I'll accept any of those answers, whatever.
I guess the majority of the players, if you pick them, you pick players that you played with the most with, I'm talking about, on the same club.
Because
you see them every day,
right.
You know. Yeah. like committee at first base. I don't think you can ever get a first baseman any better than he is. And Herman, I don't know how you'd ever get a. Coscarot was a good fielder, but he wasn't as good a hitter as Herman. Herman hit and run. He did so many more things. Coscarot was my roommate. He's a fine boy and a good ball player. But he wasn't that Billy Herman type.
Mm-hmm.
All we did when it was at Brooklyn, we wanted Herman to get on second base. I'll guarantee he'd get on second base and he'd see the catcher give two signs and he had the pitches. And he'd get out and he had a sign with us like that. We knew you had him. If he stepped like this.
Left foot over right. Uh-huh.
That was a curveball. He went this way. It's a fastball.
Right foot out. Uh-huh.
And I tell you right now, we wore. I know pitchers wanted a lot of time high in the world. It hit them so hard. But that was really.
Helped the batting average, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Who was the big RBI man on the club at that time?
What? Camillus? Pretty close.
Camillus.
Yeah. Avogadro was a pretty good hitter. Well, I should get into that now. Dixie Walker wasn't bad.
Right. I've heard it said that 1942 club was probably the best second place club in history.
In what, 40?
1942 Dodgers, yeah. The best second
probably.
Place club in history.
Probably was.
So it was probably the only team ever to be above average at every position. The only ball club that you could ever say that about. That's
probably true,
thought.
Too. Yeah. Madwick.
Yeah. Do you think, here's a question. Do you think that the Cardinals intentionally tried to beam him when he went over to the Dodgers? Remember he had that terrible, I guess it was the skull actually fractured by the pitch? But you know, he was hitting the head awfully hard. Do you think that was intentional or just one of those things that happened? Or?
I think it's one of those things that happened. I don't think it's intentional.
What, leaning in for a curveball that was actually a fastball?
They might have known something about him not liking to pitch inside, you know, high inside. They might have known that. In fact, I think it bothered Aaron. They didn't do it much. So the best thing I would, well, that's one of the things about pitching. If you're pitching to good hitters, don't do anything to wake them up. Just, you know, they're going to hit so much anyhow.
No sense in asking for more trouble.
I remember it bothered Hank a little bit. And I remember telling him someplace, where in the world did I tell him that? They get it. They understood that he didn't like for pitchers to pitch high and tight to him, you know. He let them know it, which is the worst thing you can do. Best thing is don't say anything. Because you let them know, then they're going to knock the heck out of you, sure enough. And the best thing, I told him that, I said, the best thing is just don't say anything. Don't let them know that you don't like it. I believe that's after I came to Atlanta. And I was talking to him, I remember, we knew that. He didn't like to pitch it. And that's, we did it.
You mentioned Spahn in particular being one of the great pitchers that you saw. Are there any other pitchers that come to mind as being among the very best that you saw? Well, you were on some teams with some great ones. With Feller, for one.
Feller had the most stuff in a pitcher ever saw. I wouldn't say he's not a Spahn pitcher at all. He overpowered you. He just, you can't believe the difference in this stuff that he had in Spawnhead. Spawnhead is pretty good stuff, but not that kind of stuff. Taylor's a good pitcher. George Earnshaw used to be a pitcher. He and, see, Earnshaw and... Earnshaw and Rommel and Wahlberg. I can't remember all of them. Wahlberg wasn't a bad pitcher, but he didn't.
Monty Stratton was a teammate of yours at the White Sox. And that was before he had that cutting accident, wasn't it?
He didn't. He didn't come around until after I left.
Oh, all right.
But he's a pretty good pitcher. Yeah.
I was interested in seeing how many of the pitchers on the Brooklyn staff were from the South. You know, Hugh Casey and you were both from Georgia. Kirby Higbee was from South Carolina, and Bobo Newsom was from South Carolina, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all within a pretty small area. All to be on the same pitching staff.
Yeah.
The only one who wasn't, really, was Freddie Fitzsimmons.
Kirby had more stuff. I'd say more stuff. He had a better curveball than I did. I wouldn't say he threw as hard as I did. Maybe. He threw hard enough. Kirby should have been, I mean, he should have been a great pitcher. Then a lot of other things might have entered into that, too.
Yeah.
He didn't take too good care of himself.
What about control? Who had the best control on the staff? Did you?
That's another thing, yeah, right. He wasn't a fine pitcher, you know. In other words, to be a good pitcher, you got to be able to throw a strike anytime you want to with any pitch you got, like 3-2. I've changed the speed of the ball on the good hitters 3-0. And you got to know what you're doing. You do that.
A lot of confidence.
3-0. Yeah, right. You got to have a lot of confidence to know that you can throw a strike. I believe at times I knew I could throw a strike any time. I didn't want to throw one any time, but I could if I got behind.
In other words, you'd waste a pitch every now and then.
Huh?
When you say you didn't want to throw a strike every time, you would waste the pitch every now and then, right?
Yeah. Right.
To set up a hitter for something?
Try to pitch a little bit outside, a little bit inside. I pitch more. I got left-handers out good because I pitched outside. That was my alley. I could pitch good outside. Now, I could, fine, I'm talking about fine outside. Now, sometimes if I go to pitch inside to a left-hand hitter, I might get the ball in too far, you know, too good.
Yeah, over the plate a little bit.
Out here, I could really hit that corner.
Did you try to think ahead
and
of
that's the reason I got left-hand hitters out good.
Did you try to think ahead of a hitter, 2 pitches, 3 pitches? How far ahead does a good pitcher, how far ahead of a hitter does a good pitcher try to think?
Well, I don't think he'd be behind and ever be a good pitcher.
No, I'm talking about thinking. In other words, throw a ball to set up another
pitch.
What goes through a pitcher's mind when you've got a hitter up at the plate? Let's see. I suppose it probably all varies on the situation. Let's say we've got a runner on first and one out, and a good right-handed hitter. Is there a pattern or something that you've got in mind how you're going to approach that hitter, or are there other variables?
Got a man on what now?
Man on first and one out.
I wouldn't. If you got a man on first and nobody out or one out, actually what you actually want to do, you want to hit the ball on the ground if you can.
Try to get a double play?
Yeah. You can't get getting double play with high fly balls.
Right, right.
You can get in double trouble.
Right.
But, I tell you, there's really a lot more science to pitching, I think, than the average person even has any idea. Why did it take me that long to learn how to pitch? took me 8 years to learn how to pitch. But I knew as well when I went to that hotel that night, I knew as well that I said, oh, by God, I have finally become a pitcher. Nothing bothered me after that.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground. Have I missed anything that I should ask you about?
I'll tell you what to do. If you'll be sure and get that piece back to him, you take that in.
This over here? I promise you I will.
Take it and read it, because I tell you, that's a lot of my career right there.
I certainly will.
In fact, these things in there, I had forgotten.
Okay.
Of course, now, you know, it's been so long since I've done this, you know, it's hard to remember all the things that I'd like to be able to remember and tell you.
Well, I sure appreciate your time. You've been very generous with your time.
Well,
I've enjoyed this immensely.
I like to. I'm that time. I like to help anybody I can help. So like my wife says, well, you give everything you got away if you just left up to me. But I like to give. And I tell you what. And I think that's the reason I've gotten along in life as well as I have. That I kind of think of the other person a little bit, not just myself. I want to tell you, there's two or three things in my life that I think if I had to, I'm going to die tonight, it wouldn't bother me one bit if I knew it. I'd hate to die because I love to live. I can sit right here and watch those birds and watch the trees and get a kick out of it. I mean, I love nature that much. And I want to tell you, I have never beat a fellow out of a dime in my life. And I've made a lot of trades. I've always given a little bit more than they ask. And if you ask me today, who do you dislike? I couldn't tell you one person in my lifetime that I dislike. I told some lady that here over the phone here not too long ago, is Louise Mabry. And I said, I don't know of a person I dislike. She said, well, I'll be damned if I can say that. I knew what she'd say. She used to live across the street from us. That's the reason I knew. And she said, well, I'll be damned if I can say that.
Well,
something's always come along. The good Lord really always taking care of me. The other day, like I tell you, I missed the pension plan. Of course, I got a 13 years in the pension plan as a coach. I get a pretty good pension out of that. In fact, I don't mind tell you why. I got about $1,900. Well, I started off getting about $1,100. They kept raising a little bit. Now I get up to now where they get I get $1,900. But where I get $1,900 now, these ball players that have played, they get $5,000 to $6,000 a month pension. But I get $1,900, which is, I think, is a hell of a good pension myself. So I was looking through my mail the other day, and I come across this letter. I opened it up and looked at it, and you know what it was? It was a check for $15,000.
Oh.
It's a Baseball Players Association. I said, well, dang, they made a mistake. They did. And I went on through my mail and picked up another letter, and they had raised my $1,900 to
$3,500. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
And what they had done, they'd gone back retroactive and picked up some of these old players. Some of the older players would make it $100 to $150
right.
a month. And I'll tell you, that was a disgrace of the money they had. They had all kinds of money up there. And they went back and picked them up. Of course, they picked up them. They had to pick up everybody, I guess.
Right.
So that's the reason why I got the $15,000 and the $3,500 and some dollars. I forget how much.
Oh, great. I think I've read it, though.
Isn't that something?
That's wonderful. I think I've
read it. But I won't. Think about now. I'm not going to live long enough to enjoy it.
Well, I hope you figure out a way to enjoy most of it, at least. I think I heard recently that the minimum major league salary now is $105,000. That's the minimum. Boy.
Some player wrote me the other day and he says, Witt says, if you'd had the years now that you had with the Dodgers, you'd be making about $2 million a year.
Yeah.
At least that much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You think that that can last?
I've been surprised a lot in my life. I don't see how it can last. What did they say? The salaries for the Braves players this year is over $22 million.
Of course, I know what's done it. Television.
Sure. And I guess CBS took a beating last year on it.
The what?
CBS lost a lot of money on that last year, I understand.
Well, how can they keep on doing that, though?
I don't know. Well, then, of course, CBS gets it from the advertisers. So I guess that's where it all does come from, the advertising for the stuff that you and I are supposed to buy.
But it certainly can't get any worse.